All right. Pathetic, isn't it, Jacob? Oh, man. All right. God. All right, let's get Tommy in here.
I'm sorry I delayed.
Hi, John.
Somebody messed up my computer, and I...
Somebody like you.
How do I make that thing bigger?
You just get a little cornered thingy. You see, you hit that, you double it up.
Is that how you do it?
You
oh, really? Okay.
You stretch
and then
it.
Stuff
this
and then
sounds like a bunch of tech wizards. That little thingy and push it this
how
thingy.
Is that?
Hey,
how
it's practical. If it works, it works.
All right, here we go, David.
You have to know your audience.
I'm regressing when it comes to my computer knowledge. So get out of here, Ursula. By the way, you walked in here. It smelled nice. Did you notice that when you came in? That's you. That is you. Come on, Al. Don't deny it. You know it's not Jacob. Here we go. Let's see. Could he run? Could he run and could he win? That's the big question. Starbucks ex-CEO decides after going 60 minutes that, you know what? I think I got a shot at this. I think this is good. And a lot of people in the Democratic Party are saying, whoa, don't do it.
I am seriously thinking of running for president. I will run as a centrist independent outside of the two-party system. We're living at a most fragile time. Not only the fact that this president is not qualified to be the president, but the fact that both parties are consistently not doing what's necessary on behalf of the American people and are engaged every single day in revenge politics.
Okay. He explains why he wants to run as an independent, because he wants to get Trump elected.
You know, I've been a lifelong Democrat. I look at both parties. We see extremes on both sides. Well, we are sitting today with approximately $21.5 trillion of debt, which is a reckless example, not only of Republicans, but of Democrats as well, as a reckless failure of their constitutional responsibility.
Okay, so he says he's going to run on the debt, that $21 trillion, and he's going to make Americans aware of that, and that's the thing that's going to help him, because he wants to be a responsible, reasonable leader that gets that under control, because you're putting a gigantic check or an invoice on every single American born today. Is it 54,000? It's something like that, that every single American in the country owes the country 50-some thousand dollars. That gets where
so he thinks that that approach will make up for his bland delivery, his bland personality, his bland everything. Good luck here. All he's messing to do here is be a spoiler.
Uh-huh.
I don't think anyone thinks that we're going to capture electricity, you know, in such a way that his campaign is going to sweep up what everybody, all other third-party candidates have been unable to do, and all he'll do is be a spoiler, and I wondered how he would feel if he helped reelect Donald Trump.
So he looks at the numbers, and he looks at the field, and he says 66% of people that do vote do not associate themselves with one party or the other. So therefore, I just go get those people, and the other folks, the far, far left that's basically calling for socialism, and the far, far right, whatever they believe in, which seems to be very similar to socialism, and then I'm going to come down the middle, and I'm going to get 66% of the people that's going to vote. And then what happens is, let's say neither one gets the majority, so then it goes to the House, and then the House determines who wins the presidency. And each one of the people in the House gets one vote, right? So what happens is, the Ds and the Rs, there's only three, I think, independents in the House. So you'd end up, the guy would never win there. It would either be a Democrat or Republican would slip in there.
Yeah, this seems to me a complete ego, you know,
what?
Driven thing.
A politician with an ego?
But not, it's not a practical political stance.
Oh, okay.
To me, it's like it's ego-driven because it's going to go nowhere.
Uh-huh.
Without the kind of support of either of the parties, he's not going to have much. Now, this would only work if, say, Trump decided to run as an independent. Let's say that the Republicans, you know, get wise and realize Trump is dooming their party for all eternity, and so they decide to challenge him as a Republican, and say somebody like John Kasich, or I don't care, name a Republican who could be willing to run against Trump. And if by some weird reason the Republicans detach themselves from Trump, Trump could run as a third-party candidate, as also an incumbent president, and maybe be able to, because he represents something that's so outside the norm, that third party might have a chance. But in this particular case, as Mike Salk was telling us beforehand, why doesn't he go through the rigors of running as a Democrat? He is a lifelong Democrat. No one's going to. No, what Republican is going to vote for Howard Schultz?
Because what he would be running against, let's say he's on stage with 30 people. First of all, he's not black and
he's not
female.
He's not on stage with 30 people. No. He doesn't have anybody he's running against.
Hold on. What, Tom?
What are the
how
30
many people are on there now? Seven? I'm just saying within the next couple of months, you'll probably have 25 or 30 people.
Oh, you mean as a Democrat?
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's put him on stage.
Yes.
And what you're going to have one person that say, hey, I'm going to give you free college. And then somebody else, I'm going to give you free health care. I'm going to guarantee everybody a job. Everybody's going to get $20 an hour.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to have equal pay. We're going to have the government come in and run corporations. So the people that are standing up there handing out the free candy, Howard Schultz is going to be standing there going, well, actually, if we do that, so the people that want to vote for people that are handing out free candy, he can't compete the same way Hillary wasn't for the $15. Then all of a sudden she noticed, oh, my God, look at how many people are going for Bernie. So she started with the handouts. Howard Schultz stands up on stage and he's not giving out candy to anybody. Yeah. Who wants to vote for that? Everybody loves free crap.
Yeah,
and they're all promising free crap and they don't care about the price. Howard Schultz would say, we can't do this. We'll bankrupt the country.
Well, the nice thing is we will pay for that crap by taking away that tax cut that all the one percenters got in the corporate tax delivery that Trump got through the Republican Congress.
So what you'd end
and
up doing is
that's what we're going to end up being arguing about.
Oh, I
about.
See. So you take but every Trump, single hold on a second. You take every single dollar from every single millionaire, all of it completely, and you take all their money. Right? How long could you run the federal government for?
I have no idea.
30
John.
Days, Tom. So the
oh,
thing
30
is
days. Yeah,
30
right.
days.
No,
so here's the thing,
16
Tom.
16 days, no. John. 115
Tom,
days. Don't
Tom.
Be pulling
look it up,
numbers
Tom.
Out
here's
of
the
hat.
Thing. There's you not enough millionaires or billionaires to do what they intend. Let me finish. There's not enough. So what they'd have to do is they've got to go to the middle class. So in whether it's Denmark or any other socialist or quasi-socialist country, you know who they tax? They tax the middle class because that's where the money is.
No,
but
no,
they
no.
don't want to say that. We're going to tax the billionaire, but then you realize there's not enough money with billionaires.
No, we're reversing the big tax cut that the one percenters got with the last big tax cut.
And 96
cut.
Other that, percent people got tax cuts as well. You got a tax cut. Jacob got a tax
not,
cut. Everybody got
any,
a tax cut.
Not of any significant import. And so what you do is you end up using that to bankroll. Now, is that going to get rid of the deficit? No. It's not going to get rid of the deficit, but the Republicans aren't getting rid of the deficit, and they even ran on that platform to get rid of the deficit.
The Republicans
so the
are terrible about
here.
The deficit.
That's right,
terrible.
Exactly.
They're both bad.
Okay, but so let's continue this scenario.
Okay.
He can't run as a Democrat because the Democrats won't support him. He can't run as a Republican because the Republicans won't support him. Uh-huh. So where is his support? 66% of the people are not Republicans or Democrats, but they are not all of one mind. They are not deficit hawks.
Uh-huh.
They're not trying to, we need to reduce the deficit. There's nothing binding that 66% you claim are not unaffiliated with the parties.
Yeah.
So he's got nowhere to go except for his own ego.
Well, here's why he says he's not worried about taking. By the way, I got it wrong. It's 4 months you could run the entire government.
I knew you were wrong.
Yeah, 4 months. So, again, that's if you take every single dollar. But here we go. Here's why he won't. He's not taking votes from Democrats.
I want to see the American people win. I want to see America win. I don't care if you're Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, Republican. Bring me your ideas, and I will be an independent person who will embrace those ideas because I am not in any way in bed with a party.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's right, because no party will have him, apparently, is what you're saying. The Republicans don't want him.
No.
The Democrats are already energized about this next presidential election.
Yes.
So there's no concern about whether the Democrats are going to be behind somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So all he'll do is you've got the Republicans, the never Trumpers on the Republican side, represented by Bill Kristol.
Uh-huh.
And he says the problem with Schultz is that he doesn't energize enough Republicans, and he's certainly not going to energize the Democrats. He's got no following. So all he'll do, Bill Kristol's worst case scenario is that he'll end up reelecting Donald Trump, even though he's a lifelong Republican. He wants a Republican to run within the Republican Party to challenge Trump.
Yes.
Otherwise, Trump will be reelected because you split it three ways.
Yeah.
He probably does have a third of the populace in
his
camp.
Let's just look at him as a human being.
Who?
Former CEO of
Schultz,
Starbucks,
okay.
Right? Grows Starbucks from nothing to where it's a major billion-dollar company, right? He leaves. And then he is gone for a little while and then decides to come back as Starbucks has lost its way. He comes back in again. Stock turns back up again. And then he gets bored with it or whatever reason and he decides he wants to leave. Right. So what's he going to do, Tom? He's got all of this time. He's got all of this money. What else is he going to do?
Does he
play golf? Does he have other things he's involved in?
He can join
with?
The government if he wants to. He can maybe get a cabinet position in a Republican or a Democratic institution.
No, because you know what, Tom? People like Howard Schultz, he's a type A personality. He is a alpha male.
Okay.
He doesn't want to be in the cabinet. You want to be president. And there's enough friends that are his that surround him. We're like, hey, Howard, you'd make a damn good president. You should run. And he's thinking to himself, I got time. I got money. I love the celebrity. I love the attention. He's on 60 Minutes, Tom, talking to the nation about why he wants to be president of the United States.
That's right.
It just appeals to the ego of the individual. That's
okay.
All.
If that's all it is, and if he ends up being inadvertently responsible for the reelection of Donald Trump, that'll be on his tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a legacy he wants? He's already hated enough for selling out the Sonics in Seattle. Does he also want to be hated for selling out the country by reelecting Donald Trump inadvertently?
Did Ross cost Bush the election?
Ross Perot?
Yeah.
He could have been, although the assumption was he did, but I think that when they did the analysis, it looks like if he didn't vote for Perot, who would you have voted for? It was split 50-50. So.
He took some of it.
He took some of it. Yes,
a big chunk of it. Yeah.
But
he got 13%.
You get half
like
the he got the most of any third party candidate, I think.
Yeah. All right. By the way, I spent the weekend in Ocean Shores, of course, because that's where you go in January. And it was actually sunny for both days.
Wow, both days.
I'm always amazed that people drive on the beach. Isn't that the weirdest thing? Why are you driving on the beach? Where are you going?
Probably feels kind of cool, though. Wow, look at this. We're driving on the beach.
Yeah. But, I mean, they turn around and go back. I don't get it. Like, where are you going? You going down the beach in your big truck? All right. Anyway, all the Republicans, Libertarians, Conservatives, we were all there.
Huh.
And I took an informal poll of who's going to win in 2020. And according to the people that I spoke to, and they were all elected officials, both senators and representatives. And
At the state level.
Yeah. Okay. Harris will win.
Kamala Harris, who just announced officially over the weekend at a big rally. I happened to hear her speech. I was just, whatever I was watching on TV ended and her live speech came on. I think her entire demeanor seems very positive. I can see, I don't know enough about her policy. She's a former prosecutor. She is was the attorney general in California until she was just elected to the Senate. She's only served 2 years in the Senate, but I think there's something appealing about her her approach and her demeanor that makes me think, yeah, maybe there is something to it. And coming from a big state like California could help.
Yeah. You know, there was two or three people. They had all these panels. It was great. Different folks that flew in from around the country. And one woman who has run 45 campaigns, big campaigns, successfully. I forget. Her batting average is pretty incredible. And she said, people talking about, well, we want somebody to run and want me to deepen the bench, Republicans. And she's at number one. Get somebody that people like. Get somebody that is a people person. She said, you know, you can be as wonky as you want, but if you don't really love people more than you love yourself, don't run. And don't get that person, because people want to hire somebody. Basically, you're hiring somebody when you vote for them. People that they like. She says a lot of times when you go to apply for a job, the employer likes about you is that you're a lot like him or her.
Yeah.
You can relate. She goes, get somebody who's relatable. I don't care about their years and experience. If people like that person, choose that person, get them to run, but also make sure that they're a people person. She goes, that's number one. We can talk about all the other stuff underneath it. So did Harris come off as a likable person?
Yes. Okay.
Compared to Hillary Clinton, not a very likable.
Yes.
Right.
Well, the thing about the danger about the likability issue is it's rarely applied to men and almost always applied to women. One of the first questions that Gillibrand got after her announcement was, "Well, do you seem like a likable person? Do you consider yourself a likable person?" They said, "Yeah, that is kind of a sexist approach."
What did Obama say about Hillary? You're likable enough.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called the beer test, and whether it's done for a woman or a man, it still comes down to this. Who would you rather want to sit down and have a beer with, right?
Yeah.
Kerry or Bush, right?
Yeah.
Bush or Clinton?
Bush or Gore. That was when it came up with Bush or Gore. And I think that's probably a bad way to determine who's president, but I think it also explains the appeal. I mean, politicians have to have some kind of appeal to them.
Right.
So why are Republicans most afraid of Kamala Harris, I mean, she's
say
inexperienced.
Afraid. It's not a fear. It's just
if it's a prediction, I suspect they think that it's a. I assume that they would rather have a Republican in there.
Sure, they'd rather
like
have
Donald Trump,
but they'd rather have the House back, and they would rather keep the Senate
than the presidency.
Well, listen, if given the choice, they would like to be able to do this. They want Congress, which is the most powerful branch of the government, to
Since when?
Since when? What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people feel like it depends on who the president is, how powerful the executive branch is. And right now, Donald Trump was running roughshod over the Congress because he got his way more than the Congress did.
Right, the same way Obama did with the executive branch and the fact that he had a gun. He had a phone and a pen. So Congress, the way it's established, Congress does have more power. That's why they put him on a short leash for every 2 years because they control the checkbook. So what they would rather be able to have Congress write good laws that don't go to the courts, just like John Roberts said, hey, if you made the law and they made it so that we could understand it, if you wrote good laws, then wouldn't have to deal with these decisions on what the word state means. And then they
and
also
you think
want
Republicans
to do,
would write good laws.
Well, they would not good.
They were in
no,
charge
no, no, not good
for the
or
last
bad.
They
clear
owned
laws.
Congress.
Hold
for
on,
last
hold
few
on,
years.
Tom. I'm telling you, this is the new idea that they're also going to ask Congress to write it specifically so it doesn't go to a bunch of unelected bureaucrats. So it can't go to the EPA. It can't go to the Education Department. Write them and do your business and work out on both sides so that it is clear and defined as to what the law states. And then you also put up the guardrails so that you don't have each one of these agencies coming in there and sort of nitpicking the things that they want. That's all they're asking for. Which,
well,
by the way,
first off, a lot of those things are regulations, not laws. But I think most Republicans and Democrats would agree they'd like very, you know, clear laws. The question is, which law do you want to have that's so darn clear? I think the Republicans would like to, you know, kind of mess up what a liberal's clarity would be in a law and vice versa. So I'm asking you, what is it about Kamala Harris that they see as
why will she win?
Fearful.
Two of them said, two of the guys that I spoke to, of the 15, they said the fact that she announced she's running and she picked up $1.5 million in less than 24 hours.
Mm, okay.
Right, they like that.
So as a fundraiser.
Right, yeah, you got to get the money, right? If you don't have the money, you're in big trouble. So
she's relatively unknown, though, compared to a lot of other
Right, campus. Like Barack Obama.
Yeah, like Barack Obama. In fact, after the speech, I watched all three networks of the CNN, Fox, and MSNBC, and a lot of them said she is invoking, she sounds more like Barack Obama than any of the other candidates, that she was appealing to a kind of bigger vision of hope for America and this kind of grand vision rather than the kind of particular fights that Elizabeth Warren and people on the far left in the Democratic Party were arguing.
Remember the hooey from Obama? We're not a red state. We're not a blue state.
That's right.
It's purple. I'll reach across the aisle.
That's very appealing.
Very appealing.
That's
now, absolutely not true to who Barack Obama was, but it didn't matter because people are like, hey, we like the idea of people reaching across the aisle.
Yes.
Right. And he gets in there within weeks. He says, you know what? Elections have consequences. Deal with it. You lost.
Yeah, that's right. But the idea is the Republicans
that's how you reach across the aisle.
They reach across the aisle and the Republican says, hey, no, we've got a good strategy. Our number one strategy in the Senate, Mitch McConnell said, was to make sure he's a one-term president. The Republicans unfortunately, immediately said, you know, we're not going to deal with him, whatever.
A year
that's
and
why
a half
they got
after
no
he'd been in there.
Votes on even the health care issue,
that's
which
right.
is one of their Republican ideas.
Mitch McConnell said
Republicans
that a year and a half after he'd been in there. I know. They're both terrible. Pox upon both houses.
Oh, then you're going to vote for Howard Schultz.
No. Yeah. I've decided I'm
just
a true
like
100% federalist, Tom. Bring everything back to the local level.
And Trump's presidency is worth it.
Trump's shaking things up.
Yeah, well, so be it.
Right back. Laura's Home Loans. Laura Keel, 833-ASK-LAURA. 833-ASK-LAURA. Take care of all your mortgage needs. And last name is Keel, by the way. Yo, I know that last name, Keel. She's good. She's good people. Laura Keel. All right, Tom, let's see. Stories we didn't get to. We have to. Tom Brokaw's comments, and then walking that back, what he said about brown grandbabies. And then also the Michigan family got kicked off that plane. Yeah. I want to do that story because, as you know, I am olfactory sensitive.
I didn't know that. Now I do.
You do know that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Don't act like you don't know that.
I'm trying to lead people on so they can. It's worthwhile regurgitating that old story.
It's not an old story, Tom. They're on a plane. They get kicked off a plane.
No. That's I mean, your olfactory sensibilities.
I'm just pointing that out. Nothing wrong with that. I can smell Ursula from here.
No.
But in a good way.
In a good way. I can smell Andrew from here and not in a good way. See that? That's what I'm saying. Here we go. What I learned from a month of the carnivore diet. This guy ate nothing but meat. Every single day.
Yeah.
And at one point, he actually almost ate something else. He did eat it, and he found that it just didn't sit right with him. So he decides he wanted to see what it's like to eat meat every, and that's it, just meat.
That's right.
So well, just to be clear, the guy we're going to hear from is the doctor that kind of founded the diet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sean Baker talks about his early experiences with an all-meat diet.
Okay.
And you have to understand, this is very, very controversial because people say if you eat 4 ounces of red meat every single day, chances of you having colon cancer or heart disease, your cholesterol goes up.
Diabetes.
Bad, bad, bad. You want to have a balanced diet, This guy decides he's going to go all in and everything all meat.
And I was just like, well, I'm an athlete. I like trying this stuff. And so I said, well, I'm just going to try it for a month. And so I did it for a month. And I was like, man, I feel pretty good, right? So I was like, well, I did a month. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go back to my ketogenic diet. And so I started, remember that day, I was like, I'm going to eat some apples, a little almond butter. You know, I had some berries and cream, stuff you'd normally eat as a treat. And I just didn't feel as good. You know, like my back started hurting a little bit. And I was like, well, maybe that's weird. So then I went and said, well, I'm just going to go back to eating meat again.
Wait, your back started hurting from eating apples?
I've seen a lot of people, what they'll say is, you know, and this is what I saw, you know.
That's the kind of question you'd ask.
No.
Be a five-parter. Hold on.
Inquiring minds need to know.
Let them finish. Hold on. You also ate berries.
When I was working as a surgeon, when I put people on a ketogenic diet, their joint pain was starting to go away.
Okay. He says doctors don't pay enough attention to how patients are feeling. They look at the numbers, but they don't do feeling.
One of the big problems I see as a physician, and this is a big problem, because people will go on low-carb diets or ketogenic diets, and they'll say, I feel the best I've ever felt in my life. I mean, my mood is better. My mental cognition is better. My joints feel better. My guts don't hurt. My skin is better. My sex drive is better. Everything you would say is that means you're getting healthy, and they'll go to their doctor and they'll get some blood drawn and their cholesterol will be high, and their doctor will say, well, you're going to kill yourself, you're going to have a heart attack, right? So people get scared away from that and they go back to eating their other stuff, and then they feel crappy again, but they're like, well, at least my cholesterol is not bad. So one of the big problems, and I'm trying to sort of basically preaching this stuff, is I think, and this is a problem with healthcare in general, is we have so gotten away from just defining what's healthy.
Can you imagine eating just meat all day long?
Well, no. In fact, this guy that then took – what we're hearing from is the guy who's, if not the originator, one of the earliest proponents of it right now, and is very popular because of that. And so this journalist decided to try it. He says, you know, he doesn't really work out. He doesn't have much of a diet. He ends up eating on the run because he has a freelance writing job, and so he's eating crap all the time. So I figured this would be good for him. And he says, and one of the things he talks about is how boring it is.
Yeah.
Now, you can eat, it's not just meat. You can eat eggs. You can eat other things. And so you have, like, steak and eggs for breakfast and steak and eggs for lunch and for dinner, you know, as a ribeye or something. But the story that I found, the part of it that I found most compelling was his what he realized after one day of this.
Yeah.
He spent half the time in the toilet. He says, they never tell you about this. He's got diarrhea like nobody's business. He just, his body cannot respond to it.
Come on now.
I'm trying to make this unappealing because I do not like this diet. And he says, why don't they tell people this? And they go, oh, yeah, diarrhea is one of the after effects. And he says, after about a week, you know, his body adjusted. And he said, okay, good. And he started feeling better. He had more energy. And he says, hey, maybe this is really working. He says, and then the diarrhea, the runs hit him again. And he says, so that was one of the constants that he had to deal with, is that the body is not accustomed to that. And he goes through all this explanation. He says his colon was a biodome of water and undigested fat.
Okay.
So he ended up having to take supplements.
You know how sensitive I am.
L-I-P-A-S-E. No, only to smells. Okay. Do you know what lipase is? L-I-P-A-S-E.
He had to something take else mixed in there.
Two capsules before every meal to keep the diarrhea down. So right now, I don't care how healthy it is. I'm spending half my time, and he talks about how embarrassing it was. His first day was visiting his mother, and she was really concerned because he spent half the time in her bathroom.
This guy, this guy doesn't seem to have a problem. He made it through a half-hour interview without pooping.
If you go to, if you go to northern Alaska in the wintertime, good luck trying to find a fruit or vegetable. I mean, you're not. And so, but what people would say, they would just.
No, I apologize. The guy that's being interviewed is actually sitting on the toilet. You know, I got that stuff called Henry's. It's a powder that you put in water. I'm drinking that once a week, and it's supposed to just clean you out. Henry's. It was $55, and you drink the whole thing, 16 ounces of it, and then you drink 8 ounces of water, and then you wait
to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So you pay $55 for diarrhea?
It's not diarrhea. It's a whole new form of going to the bathroom. It is really satisfying. You can see why women really enjoy being pregnant and carrying that child for 9 months. The feeling when you're in that bathroom is, you just want people around. Somebody get some pictures. It is really something else.
Well,
I'm going to bring in some of it for you.
Yeah, okay, that'd be good.
No, seriously, you'll feel better. It takes all the toxicity out of your body.
And everything else, it sounds like, too. I don't know.
Oh, the other day I was out for a run, and I had consumed the stuff around 7 in the morning. And then I was out for a run around 4 in the afternoon, and Mother Nature called. But it was Mother Nature called on the hotline, Tom.
Yes.
Yes.
So what did you do? Dig a shallow hole?
No, I went into sort of a wooded area of the neighbor's house.
Oh, and didn't even bother digging a shallow hole. You wooded it up.
I did not have time for a hole. But luckily, the mouth that came out of me created its own crater.
I see. Was it steaming?
Did you start
like
you
a volcano?
Stop on the air. Good Lord, Jacob, stop this! What you did? I got 18 more seconds. The guy's talking about eating meat.
They were dysplastic. Yeah, but they ate a lot of their organs. I got some vitamin C from their liver, and some of the whale skin had some. And so they would just try to justify that and try to make this.
Okay, whatever.
No, the guy
you
says
that segment.
Only 30 days is not enough. You need to do at least 60 or 90. And this guy's been on it, the guy we were listening to, for 2 years.
See, Tom, you had a bias you brought in there, and you cratered that story with your bias about eating meat every day.
No, you threw it to me, and he explained it. The journalist himself starts off with the diarrhea bout.
Well, that's what they do. Be right back.
It's called journalism.
You know CPR, Tom?
I don't think so. I might have been trained like in high school or something. I think I would have given it a shot if I was in a position where I was needed, but I wouldn't say I'm trained.
Andrew?
I same, except it was more recent, I think, than Tom, so I think I could do it.
Okay. Jacob?
Yes, I was given the training, but it's lapsed. I was supposed to re-up, and I did not.
And you, John?
So, they got rid of the breathing part. So you don't have to do breath anymore.
Just compression. It's just compression.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you just and it's to the beat of staying alive, staying alive, staying alive.
That's what I hear.
Just like that. And the person lives.
So staying it's on every beat.
Well,
staying alive. Staying alive. No.
I think it's on. Okay. Ready? You press down on my chest.
It's just a rib. John, relax.
All right. Andrew, look at you coming in with the music. Oh, that was crazy. All right, there was a person who says they did not know how to do CPR, and there's somebody who had a heart attack right in front of them, and then all of a sudden they said, oh, I remember how to do CPR. Because why, Tom?
The Office.
That's right.
Where we learn to do everything properly.
Here is the scene that saved this person's life.
All right.
So, assessing the situation, are they breathing?
No, Rose. They are not breathing. And they have no arms or legs.
No, that's not part of it.
Where are they?
All right, well, let's get back to it, because you're losing them.
Does anybody
not
know
the Office? Everyone, we need to pump at a pace of 100 beats per minute.
Oh, okay. That's hard to keep track. How many is that per hour?
How's that going to help you?
I will divide and then count to it.
Right.
Okay, well, a good trick is to pump to the tune of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
Ah, see?
Do you know that song?
Yes.
Yes, I do. I love that song. First I was afraid, I was petrified.
No, it's... staying alive.
Staying alive, staying alive. Staying alive, staying alive.
You can't tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. Words ain't loud, women more. Been kicked around since I was born. Well, it's all right, it's okay.
Okay, I see what just keeps going on. Okay. Again, it is, we're doing radio here.
Yeah.
So the person ends up living.
Well, yeah, in real now, not in the office because no, that was that. Just Listen, a dummy. But yeah,
dummy, I know.
This is amazing though. The person pulled over. This is a car kind of drifting on the side of the road. He actually got in and pulled the woman out of the car and did CPR and saved the day. And it was all because of that. And in case the irony of this is the office, Michael Scott is like the world's biggest idiot. And so the fact that he actually learned how to do this because of following the actions of this perfect idiot like Michael Scott is pretty humorous.
If you didn't know or you weren't sure and somebody says, oh, my God, he's having a heart attack, do something. Would you jump in there or would you kind of look around like, does anybody else know? When was the last time you took it?
That would be what I do. Because
you
yield
to the person who has a little bit more experience than you.
Yes, maybe not Andrew, but for most people.
Right.
No, I mean, because I would not want to be responsible for doing damage.
Yeah.
Now, the doctor in this particular story says, usually doing something is not going to be worse. I mean, the person's dying, so trying is better than not trying. You're not going to make things worse. But yeah, I would defer to anybody who had more recent training.
All righty, let's see. Stories that we still need to get to. The family that got kicked off the plane.
Yeah.
Although you don't care about that one. The only child syndrome. Is it real? By the way, Andrew, this is your lucky day. We're going to go to you twice today. All right? Because we know you are only child, so we're going to put you through the only child test.
Looking forward to it.
All right, then, on that.
Yeah.
And Tom Brokaw's apology, was he sincere when he said what he said after he said what he said?
Well, it was one of those insincere apologies. How's that?
That's my favorites. Plus, also, his brother confessed to gunning down 17 in Parkland, and now the audio has been released. And it is odd. How did you describe it? That you feel sort of, or was it Jacob that said that you feel sort of sorry for the guy, but at the same time repulsed by the behavior, but then the love for the brother? It works on many levels.
Yeah, it's a very humanizing story of somebody who most people think of as a monster.
Mm-hmm. And Rachel Bell is going to stop by at 10:30. Good to have her here. She talks to a guy who's got a bizarre story of eating something that most Americans only eat about once a week. We'll be right back.
Another diarrhea story?
No, you know what? I'm going to stop with that, okay? We don't do scatological
jokes. What do you hear? What he was eating?
We don't do scatological on this show. Right back.